Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster on this first Sunday of Advent. And with Advent, of course, come some different things and different ways of doing things. So in just a few moments, we'll be moving to the lighting of the Advent wreath. And Jerry has a liturgy and there's a song that goes with it. We'll be doing that. So just want to make sure that everybody is on the same page. The bishop has issued a letter, which you are all sent. If you get our emails, you all received a copy. He strongly recommends masks for worship. There is no mandate in a general sense. There are some different suggestions for different people. If you want to see the whole thing, have a look through it and read exactly what he has said. I'm happy to report that our indwell total has gone up again. We are probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $13,000 that we will be giving to Indwell. And you probably noticed that the new Embassy Commons just opened in Old East Village and again, changing people's lives, which is a great thing. Something that we have done forever and ever and ever to support the ministry of our friends at Epiphany is Toonies for Turkeys. So there are some plates around the church, one at each door, clearly marked Toonies for Turkeys. You don't have to do a toonie. We take nickels, dimes, quarters, $20 bills, $100 bills, no. Whatever you want to do, and all of that goes to our friends at Epiphany to buy turkeys and other help for people at Christmas. So it's just one of those things that we can do for them. I think that's all the announcements that I need to make, and in just a moment, we will be moving into the liturgy.
In the name of Christ, who was, is, and shall be, grace and peace.
And also with you.
When hope hangs low in the human heart, you, loving Creator, kindle compassion, breathing life into the early embers of change and empathy.
We light a candle for hope, sending prayers high into the inky heavens and dreams deep into the human soul.
God of all hope, shine your light on the story of the saints who journeyed before us.
May the seeds they planted in the world, hope, peace, joy, and love take hold in our hearts and stretch toward the light.
We light a candle for hope. May it light the way.
Oh, God.
Some of you may be wondering about the setup if you weren't here last week. We moved the altar down to the floor, and I preached from the floor last week, and we thought we would do it again this week, and we'll be back in the normal understanding next week. It's just an opportunity to create community and bring everybody together, feel something in a different way. So just one of those things that we thought we would try. We move now to the collect for the first Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills, and all nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you all must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Some may be surprised to see the Old Testament reading. We've always done two readings. During Advent and Lent, we bring in the Old Testament readings, which sometimes don't get talked about a whole lot, but I think it's a nice thing to do, especially in Advent and Lent, because they're seasons that the themes of the Old Testament are important. So I want to touch on the Isaiah reading, touch on the Gospel, and then take it from there and try and give you perhaps a little different idea of how you might focus on things for Advent. Scholars will tell you that Isaiah is not a single book. I think the latest I've heard is four or five different books. The first part of Isaiah is written most likely by someone called Isaiah before the exile. The other parts of Isaiah, later in the chapter, are most likely written by someone who followed Isaiah and would be a disciple of Isaiah, and most likely written after the exile. So when you hear the words from the Old Testament this morning of what Isaiah is suggesting, it's worth taking note that literally the enemies were at the gates as he wrote this. The community was about to be exiled, taken away from their home, ripped from their communities. And what's Isaiah say? There'll be a great day of the Lord. So then let's jump to the gospel. The first thing we hear Jesus say, no one knows the day or the time. And what have human beings done since, I think, about 20 minutes after Jesus said that? Tried to tell people what the end will look like. I have said for a long time that the best homily answers a question with five new questions so that we can go off and search to learn and to understand. Advent is not about Christmas. In fact, there's a wonderful little saying on Facebook this week, the next season in the Christian year is Advent. Christmas doesn't start till December 25th. So while we're all ensconced in Black Friday and the rush to buy the best Christmas gifts, and already you're hearing Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and everybody else crooning in the malls about all this stuff about Christmas, what we're talking about is Advent. We're restarting the story. And what we're called to do, if you might allow me a little wiggle room, is to think outside the box. To not think about what's coming, to not think about Christmas, but to think about what we actually believe and what we're called to do and be as people. One of the most important lines that I've ever heard uttered was by Tom Wright, the former Bishop of Durham, Durham, England, not Durham, Ontario. I don't think they have a bishop in Durham, Ontario. He's a very well-known New Testament scholar. He was here for a clergy day. And he said, heaven is important, but so is what we're doing right now. So what are we doing right now? Are we deepening our spiritual understanding? Are we looking to find a new way of doing mission, of reaching out? Are we spending time thinking about what we think as a church, as a people, we're supposed to be doing? Or are we already into figgy pudding and candy canes and presents and all that kind of stuff? I think it's fair to say, in every era of God, since the flood and all that kind of stuff, however you want to look at it, our calls have been different. Isaiah, in the face of great difficulty, is reminding people that God will still be there, that there will be a great day of the Lord coming. Now, we have absconded with all the Isaiah readings and turned them into predictions of Jesus, which, yes, okay, I understand that, how that comes, but we also need to take the Isaiah story for what Isaiah is. Perhaps if we want a current parallel, how about the people of the Ukraine facing a winter without power and heat? They're still thinking about what their life will be going forward. So where do we go from here? What's next for the Christian church? We've heard and seen and read for many years now that the church is going downhill, that the church numerically is smaller, that more and more people are declaring themselves to be non-religious. With immigration, the number of people professing other religions is growing in our country. Perhaps they tend to be a little stronger in their adherence to their religion than what Christians have been. It seems to me that when a community starts to slide, it's an opportunity, just like Isaiah, to say, what is it that we're supposed to do and be? So will your Advent be about thinking about initiatives for homeless people? What Indwell's doing? For fairness? For indigenous issues? Is that what we're called to do? Certainly that is something that we hear a tremendous amount about. And the church has been involved in some of these, and not necessarily in a great way. What are the questions that we want to ask of ourselves during Advent? They're difficult questions. But Advent is about asking questions and about calling yourself to the roots of your faith and to understand what it is that you feel God is calling you to do and be. Advent is that time, along with Lent, that we kind of come face to face with God and say, huh, we haven't talked for a while. What is it that I believe? What is it that I want to do? What is it that I think my church community should do? How can we become more relevant to the people who don't know God, who have been introduced to God in some structures and frankly have said, oh, if that's what it is, we'll pass? That's not an easy question. I don't have the answers. Together we all do. If we follow Isaiah and say, well, there'll be a great day again. We get through the difficult times. We reinvent ourselves, if you'll allow me to use that term, and we go forward. The flip side is not listening to what Jesus says in the gospel. Nobody knows. I do. No, you don't. Nobody knows. Oh, but I heard from so-and-so that this... No. I read in Revelation. No, nobody knows. Frankly, I think we'd be better off just doing the best we can with today and tomorrow and next week. So they went looking for something that I can do that's a little bit out there. I know I'm never a little bit out there ever, and well, maybe sometimes I get a little bit out there. But one of the conversations that people have been bringing up lately, you see more about it on television. Young people seem to be quite interested in talking about it. Is it possible that we're not alone in this universe? Yeah, he said that. I know you weren't expecting that in a homily. But isn't that a great question to deal with? I mean, since I was a little boy, where, you know, well, the sun was about as far as we knew, now we got telescopes that are taking us millions of light years away, and we're seeing these majestic and beautiful, wonderful things, and we think, nope, we're the only life. We're the only ones. Does that make a difference? Is it possible to understand that God would create all this stuff and just leave one little rock for people, for life? I'm not saying there is or there isn't. I'm just saying it's one of those interesting questions that if we're willing to take off with and run with a little bit, we can have some fun. And maybe along the way, we'll come to understand God just a little bit better. If God so loved the world, if God so loved the universe, why would He create all this that's out there that we see now just to be out there? Now, following that, and I think this is a good segue, following that understanding, how do we as human beings in our media, we have all kinds of shows about aliens and people coming and life, and what are the two things that happen the most often? One, we declare we are superior, and two, fire all phasers. What does that say about human beings in understanding life as God may create it? That we believe we're the top of the chain. So you may be thinking I'm going to come up with some great answer to end this homily. I'm not going to. That's a question. This is all a question. And that is what faith is about. From the first day I walked into seminary and just about everything that I believed about God was challenged by 15 people in the first 38 minutes, the seminarian is laughing. Anybody that's been to seminary knows that's exactly what happens. Ever since that, I have tried to not think about how this might end or how this might go, but rather the possibilities that God has presented to us if we will listen, if we will reach out, if we will get outside the box and really entertain the questions. So the two ends for you to think about that you can do is you can say, I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to get all my Christmas baking done and all my Christmas shopping done, and I'm going to tell them to start singing Christmas carols in church, and I'm going to wait for the baby Jesus, and that's all I'm going to do. Or you can find some things that you've never engaged with during Advent. There was a sign on the side of the wall of St. Stephen's in Saskatoon when I went to seminary. We are an expectant people. I liked it, but I always came back with the same question. That's nice, but what is it that you expect? Amen. As you're able, I invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, either standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Let us pray to the God of all time and space, in whose love we exist and whose love we are saved. As we prepare ourselves for the time when Christ comes again in glory, we pray for the grace and honesty to see what needs transforming in our lives as individuals and as members of the Church of God. O come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. May all church leaders, pastors, and teachers be directed, inspired, and upheld by the living Spirit of God. And may there be a deepening of love and commitment in all Christians the world over. O come. May the leaders of this nation and of all the nations be drawn increasingly to understand God's ways of justice and righteousness and be filled with a longing to do what is right and honest and good. O come. May all the families on earth be blessed with the mutual love and caring, consideration one of another. May arguments and misunderstandings be properly resolved, and difficult relationships refreshed and healed. O come. May those for whom the days and nights creep past in pain or sorrow be given comfort and hope. May the frightened find reassurance, and the anxious find peace of mind. We remember especially Dan Lemansky, Bev Weffey, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Al McMillan, Patrick Convoy, Rick, Rita, and Rich, Monica, and Deb. May those who have reached the point of death be given the knowledge of God's closeness on that last journey. And may those who have died know the eternal peace and joy of heaven. O come. May we all be given a new enthusiasm for walking God's way, clothed in the armor of light. May merciful God accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. So let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
God of love and power, your word stirs within us the expectation of the coming of your Son. Accept all we offer you this day and sustain us with your promise of eternal life. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever and ever. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation. Glory to you forever and ever. But we turn against you. We betray your trust. And we turn against one another. Again and again, you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we with all your people of every language, race, and nation may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God of promise, you prepare a banquet for us in your kingdom. Happy are they who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Our communion protocol is somewhat unchanged. We offer bread and wine. You can take one or both, whatever is most comfortable for you. There will be one station at this side of the altar. Please come through and travel through as you go around so that we get people moving along. If you need a gluten-free wafer, we have those. If you would prefer a blessing, just cross your arms across your chest. We can do that. And if it all just seems to be too much, then you may simply stay where you are. Meditate and think on this day. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Yeah. is at hand.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you have fed us with the bread of eternal life. Keep us ever watchful, that we may be ready to stand before the Son of Man. We ask this in the name of Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen.